is given. Unto us is given. So before Christmas, we talked about unto us is given peace. Unto us a child is born. Isaiah 9:6, unto us a son is given. Talks about him, about his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of what? Peace. So unto us is given peace. And we've been given light, and we've been given love. And we've been talking about that. Today's message, unto us is given, say it with me, come on, hope. Come on, one more time. Unto us is given hope, hope, hope. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us when a believer in Jesus Christ dies, sure we're sorrowful. Sure it hurts us. You know, I lost my mama. My mother was murdered 19 years ago. It was horrible. It hurt me. But the Bible says to me, Gary, don't sorrow as those who have no what? Hope. Well, we believe if Jesus died and rose again, those who have died in Christ, they're with Him and they'll come back with Him one day. Amen. We believe absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Okay? So because of Jesus Christ, His coming, that birth in Bethlehem, His death on the cross, His resurrection, you and I now have what? Hope. We have hope that when we even die, because it's going to happen to us, it's appointed unto man once to what? Die, and after this, the what? The judgment. This is going to happen. But we don't have to look at that as a time of dread, a time of fear. Amen? Doesn't mean we're looking forward to dying today, alright? It's not what it's teaching. But it means that as a believer in Jesus Christ, you can have what? Hope! Hope! To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Had a recent death in our school, here at Lemon Bay High School. A fine young man whom we cared about greatly. Spent tons of time with this young man. Jerome Campbell, number 28. Night train. That's what we called him. And he had a tonsillectomy. A routine thing. They put him under anesthesia. And he never came out of it. He passed away. That's horrible. It's terrible. And it is. I mean, you don't expect that for a young man. But I was able to share, and us who were believers in Christ, who knew Jerome, we were able to comfort one another because we know we'll see Jerome again. Y'all listening to me? We don't sorrow as others who have no hope. Okay? And I've been trying to comfort the family and be there for them and bless them. But the beautiful thing is they're believers in Christ. And though they heard, and though this Christmas was terribly difficult on them, at the same time, they know they'll see Jerome again because of Jesus Christ, we have what? Hope. So let's talk about that today. I'm going to go into a subject. We'll probably cover it over the next 2 weeks. Might be a subject, if you haven't been in church a lot or church that really teaches the Word, which that could be the case, we're going to look at a lot of Scripture on the second coming of Jesus Christ. He came the first time. Where was He born and where? Bethlehem. Well, He's coming again. You don't believe Jesus is coming again, do you? Absolutely. In the Bible, there's about three, just use this number, it'll help you, about 333, say 333, prophecies of Jesus coming. 333, there's probably a couple of more than that, but just use that number, it's close. There's 333 mentions of Christ coming again, or coming, His coming, in the whole Bible. One third, say one third, are about His first coming. So that means two-thirds of those verses that talk about Jesus coming are about His which coming? That's a lot, ain't it? That's 2-to-1. So if the first one happened, and did, wow, this thing we're going to talk about today, it's 2-to-1 going to happen. Y'all understand my math? Let's talk about it. What is the second coming of Christ? Let's look at it. Let's roll, Rod. Here we go. Revelation 1:7. Behold, He comes with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. And they also which what? So this has to be He's coming again after He's what? crucified. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen. The second coming of Jesus Christ. But the day of the Lord, or the second coming of Christ, will come how? As a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, listen to this verse, what manner of persons ought you to be in all what? Holy conversation and what? Godliness. The Bible says over in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, when He comes again, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Then verse 3 says this, Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. What's the point? The second coming of Christ. Now how many prophecies about Jesus coming is there in the Bible? About how many? 300? How many? 33. And how many about Him coming to Bethlehem? About 1/3. And how many is about Him coming again a second time? 2/3. These are things we need to know because it gives us hope and it helps us have better conversation, how to live better in our life, more godly, helps us with purity in our life. Amen. To know that Christ is coming again, to know that we're going to see Him one day, we're going to go be with Him one day, this is something that can be a motivator. Y'all listening to me or not? Have I bored you to tears yet? Come on. Revelation 11. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall what? Reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats, they fell upon their faces and they worshipped God, saying, We give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, which was, and what? Art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power, and Thou hast reigned. Revelation 19. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called who? Faithful and true. And in him righteousness, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture, say it with me, dipped in blood. And his name is called who? Where do we see Jesus also called the Word? What book? The book of John, chapter what? 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, And the armies that were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Talking about the second coming of Christ. We're just laying some groundwork. We're just talking right now. Come on. Out of His mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He shall what? Rule them with a rod of iron. And He treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written. Say it with me. King of kings and Lord of lords. One more time. King of kings and Lord of lords. One more time. King of kings and Lord of lords. So now you know what's written there, right? How many scriptures in the Bible about His coming? How many for the first coming? How many for the second coming? Okay, you're doing pretty good. Hope the second coming of Jesus Christ. If you do not believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to deny over 2/3 of the verses about His coming. How you feel about that? That's craziness, isn't it? Say, I'm not going to do that. Of course He's coming again. Do I understand it all? Absolutely not. But we can try to learn. I know one thing, it gives me hope. Keep looking. His first coming, number one, was to where? As prophesied in Micah 5:2. Now, you that have been with me ever since Anniversary Sunday, You didn't know it, but we were doing some minor prophet stuff, and we were talking about Micah and Zechariah, and we were doing some things with some books that were off-roading, we called it. But here's one right here. His first coming was to Bethlehem, as prophesied in Micah 5:2. A few weeks ago, we talked about this guy. Here's what Micah said several hundred years before Christ was born. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. So did Micah's prophecy come to pass to a T, yes or no? Absolutely. Bethlehem, I've talked about it before, is a little spot in the road. You wouldn't even think anybody would be born there. Kidding me? I was so disappointed when I went to Bethlehem the first time. I'd like, wow, I'm going to Bethlehem. And I'm like, this is it? That's how specific God's Word is. He said He'd be born in this little spot in the road. Not Tel Aviv, not Jerusalem, but over here in Bethlehem. And that happened. His second coming. Okay, Gary. I believe His first coming happened. It was in Bethlehem. Okay. Where will His second coming be? Will it be Bethlehem? Is He coming back to Bethlehem? No. The Bible says His second coming, I want you to know this, will be on the Mount of... Say it with me. It's going to be on the Mount of... If you're standing on the Mount of Olives, you're looking at the old city of Jerusalem. If you're on the top of the Mount of Olives, you're looking down the valley, the Kidron Valley, the Garden of Gethsemane, and down up the hill. Not a long ways. Just probably 5 miles at the most. At the most, it's probably only a couple. It's Jerusalem. Now, if you look over this way, whoop, back this way, you're looking, can't see it most likely. You might can see it some days, but you're looking towards the Dead Sea a long way off. And you're looking at shepherd country and hill country. You understand? Yes or no? So Jesus is coming to the Mount of Olives. Guess what? Bethlehem ain't but about 5 miles away from there. It's over this way. So is He coming the second time to Bethlehem? Yes or no? Is He coming into Jerusalem? Yes or no? No, He's going to come on the Mount of what? How do you know that? Because Zechariah 14:3 and 4. We talked about Zechariah too a few weeks ago. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when He fought in the day of battle, and His feet shall stand in that day upon, say it with me, the which is before Jerusalem on the east. And wait a minute, the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the middle thereof toward the east and toward the west. Some kind of earthquake is going to take place. A splitting. And there shall be a very great valley. There's already a valley there, but that valley is going to be widened. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. Jesus coming again. That's what we're talking about today. How y'all doing so far? Am I losing? Is your head about to pop? Come on. So number one, born in Bethlehem, but number one, His second coming will be to the Mount of Olives. Is there going to be some kind of quaking or something's going to happen? Yeah. Now I know this sounds crazy, but you got to realize, what sounds crazier, Him doing that or Him being born in Bethlehem with God being the father of the baby? Or Him being crucified on a cross, buried, dead, in a tomb, and coming back to life? You understand? Seated at the right hand of God the Father right now. You understand? This is God we're talking about. We're not talking about you and me. We have limits. He has no limits. Amen? So this is what the Bible teaches. This ought to give you hope. You serve a great God. Amen? You have a mighty Savior. This is what this is all about, to give us hope. Number two, He will defeat the Antichrist. Even though we're not going to talk in this message about the tribulation period, about the Antichrist, which I believe is in Revelation chapter 6, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. You can get our teachings out there on that if you like it. But the point is, He's going to come and He's going to defeat the Antichrist and world nations assembled at where? How many have ever heard of Armageddon? The Battle of Armageddon. Okay? This is going to happen. Where do people get this stuff from? Well, from the Bible. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to the fowls, buzzards, that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. It's going to be an incredible battle and bloodletting at Armageddon. That you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse. Now, isn't that funny? And against his army. And you and I ought to realize that in our life, guys. When Satan comes against us, when we're struggling so bad, you need to know verses like this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You need to know verses, greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. Most of the battles we lose right here. Okay? Not that bad stuff doesn't happen to us. It does in life. But you can still be an overcomer because I'm a more than a conqueror through him who what? Who loved me. Amen? Okay? These kind of verses really give me great hope. This is going to happen when he comes again. The beast was taken. The false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. You ever heard the mark of the beast? 666, all that kind of stuff. Well, Jesus is coming and is going to put all that down when he comes again. And them that worshiped his image. These both were cast what? Alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And I know, I thought God was a God of love. I'm going to tell you something right now. God's a God of justice and judgment. Alright? And Satan and his forces are going to be defeated flat out. That's what the Bible teaches. How many verses on his coming? And 1/3 is about his. And 2/3 about his. And these are verses about his second coming I'm talking about. Okay? His first coming, he came meek. He came, you know, as a sheep led to the slaughter. Remember Isaiah 53? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we're healed. Remember all that stuff? Well, that's part of the 1/3. The 2/3 is what I'm talking about right now. His eyes is a flame of fire. Out of his mouth proceeds a sharp two-edged sword. He rides a white horse who's called Faithful and White. On his thigh an investor is written what? King of kings. Lord of lords. Same Jesus. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God highly exalted him. Now has given him a name which is above every name. In the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess to the Lord. Amen. For the glory of God the Father, which is in heaven. He's coming again as King of kings and Lord of lords. Y'all understand that? Yes or no? That's why it's imperative that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So, sort of odd, isn't it, that the king would die and also be able to rule and reign, isn't it? See, only God can pull that off. Here he is in heaven, king who becomes a man and humbles himself, but then raises from the dead to become king. You understand, say? That should give you some hope. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse and with the sword that proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were what? They were happy. What's going to happen one day? Hope! The second coming of Jesus Christ. So, he'll come back to where? The Mount of Olives. He will defeat Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet. Number three, he will what? Rule and reign for how many years on this earth? 1,000 years. That's a while, guys. Did y'all know that? Yes or no? Now, there's all kinds of questions we have about the second coming of Christ. I'm sure your mind's going to be going a little crazy about this and that and the other. That's good. It's good for you to think about the second coming of Christ because if you think about it and you hope for it, you're going to be purer in your life. You're going to be more motivated. You're going to be more focused in your life for Christ. That's what the Bible says. So it's a good thing that we're talking about it here at the end of the year as we're starting a new year. Y'all listen to me? If I could just lose 5 pounds, I'd be a better person. Well, you might. However,
If I could help you think that one day you're going to stand before God, you're going to give an account for what you're doing in your life, I tell you what, if I could get you to think that you're to have a witness for Christ and to live for Him, if I could get you to think that way because He's coming again, wow, that could really motivate you to really be salt and light like you're supposed to be on this earth. Amen? Okay? That's what this is all about. He will rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. How do you know? Revelation 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the who? The devil, and Satan. And bound him how long? 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he'll be loose for a little season. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them, watch this, that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast. Because during the tribulation period, if you don't take the mark, if you don't worship the beast, if you're not a believer in Jesus, but if you are a believer in Christ, but you refuse to take that mark, you're going to be killed. That's what the Bible says. And they were beheaded. Okay? They didn't receive that mark in their hands. Jesus, they're with Jesus, and they lived and reigned with Him how long? 1,000 years on this earth. I know it's hard to comprehend. It's hard for my head to wrap my head around all this stuff. Amen? It's craziness. But it's overwhelmingly taught in the Scriptures. 333 about His coming, 1/3 about His first coming, 2/3 about His second coming. Amen? Pastor Lindo, I can't help but keep looking at you because you've written a lot about the coming of Christ and stuff like that. Pretty much, are we saying what's true? So far. Aren't y'all glad He's in the room? He'll rule the earth for 1,000 years. Here we go. Well, preacher, how about if we stay with the Bible? See what we can find in the Bible. What is this 1,000-year rule going to be like? There will be peace. How's that sound to you? How's that sound, church? You like some peace on this earth? Amen. He's called the Prince of Peace. And He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn what? What's that song we sang? I'm going to lay down my burden down by the riverside. Help me. Down by the riverside. Come on. Down by the riverside. Going to lay down my burden down by the riverside, gonna study war no more. See? Ain't gonna study war no more. 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 Where'd that song come from? Right there. Got it? When you sing that old spiritual again, and we do it here at Fellowship every once in a while, Jesus is coming again. Hey, I want peace as much as you do. I want peace in the Middle East. I want peace over there in Iraq and Afghanistan. But how many with a right mind thinks that some peace negotiation is going to happen here right now and that's all going to get hunky-dory and fixed? Do you believe that, yes or no? You kidding me? But when Jesus comes, it's going to flat out happen. He's the Prince of Peace. So there'll be peace. We're going to have to quit with only a couple of these. We'll pick it up next week. What will the 1,000 years be like? What will it be like when Christ comes again? Here's the beautiful thing. As I looked at this list, some of this stuff, because I'm a believer in Christ, I can have right now. Does the Bible say I can have peace as a believer? Yes or no? It sure does. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard or keep your hearts and your mind. Is that what it says? Sure it does. Look at this one. There shall be what? Joy. The word joy is the abiding presence of God.
Can I have the joy of the Lord while I'm here on this earth as a believer in Christ? Absolutely. You can have joy. You can have that abiding presence of God. I call it this. God lives in my house. Okay? Joy to me. That's old Southern talk. God lives in my house. Okay? And He can do that right now. One day He's going to come and there's going to be joy on this whole planet. You understand? But you can have joy right now. But Isaiah 9:3 says, Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before Thee according to the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Different verses in the Scripture. If you read the whole passage, you can see these are Scriptures that are talking about the second coming of Christ. There's going to be joy. Another one. So there's going to be what? There's going to be what? Peace. And there's going to be what? The list is so long, you won't be able to keep up with me. There's going to be what? Holiness. Isaiah 1, and I will restore thy judges as at the first. I think this is funny, ain't it? He's going to fix that legal system, ain't he? Amen? People that are crooked in law and things like that, y'all better have at it. It's coming to an end. Amen! And I'll restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of what? The faithful what? City. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with what? Well, that's a good prayer for Washington, ain't it? Isn't that the truth? It's Jesus coming again. He rules and reigns. This should give you guys hope. Amen? Don't sorrow at somebody that doesn't have hope. When you put your faith in Jesus, boy, did you ever put your faith in the right place. Amen. Say, you didn't just get you a quick fix. Man, you got redeemed from hell. Got your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When you die, you don't have to sorrow as those who have no hope because absent from the body is present with the Lord. Amen. And guess what? He's got everything under control. He really doesn't need you. You ain't in here spot. I've got to get your permission to come back and do all this. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. Did you ever make a good choice? Y'all hear me? I got to quit. One last one. There shall be what? Glory. Are you kidding me? In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and what? And the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. There's going to be glory. We could put all kinds of verses up here on the screen to make that point. What have we learned so far about the 1,000 years? There's only 4 of them. There shall be peace. There shall be, the third one. There shall be holiness. And there shall be what? Sounding pretty good to me, isn't it? Amen? Second coming of Christ. 333, a little bit more than that, but we'll use that as our number. 333 prophecies about Christ coming. 1/3 for His first coming. Check that one. 2/3 for His second coming. Tell you what, in the world that we live, it looks like things could be just lining up. But I don't know. He's in charge. Amen? But we're to live as if it could be today. Amen? You hearing me? Amen. Let's praise the Lord for His Word. We have some hope. We have some serious hope. I hope your head didn't pop this morning.